what is this? It's every 80s song you've ever heard. Everyone, I dare you to identify the song just based on that alone, because it could be everything. It could be the Breakfast Club. It could be all of them. It's Olivia Newton-John.
I am trying so hard not to sing right now.
Are you sure that's not Pet Shop Boys? No, it's Olivia Newton-John. It's every 80s song. Kristen Lierley joins us this morning as we're talking about election results, and we'll get back to that and other matters. But you know, you are in that age group, which is a very, very large age group of people who, if you're really young and don't understand the fuss about Olivia Newton-John's passing, I guess that's your marker of that you're below that certain age. But you know, to a whole lot of women, it's not like she wasn't necessarily the first at a lot of things, but she did so many different genres and styles well that I can certainly see why you and so many others, you know, really appreciated or emulated her growing up.
Well, and she was beautiful and she was sweet and she was like, she was so many, like you said, so many different things. Even like in Greece, you know, she was Sandy, who was like that sweet little Sandy. And then she was the saucy Sandy at the
and then
end.
She had that naughty side. And then she started doing physical and so many.
And then Xanadu, and I bought leg warmers. I mean, there's a whole thing happening here.
You still have the leg warmers, don't you? You still have the leg warmers.
Okay. I roller skate on occasion.
Okay. All right. Luke, make a note. We'll be doing a roller skating theme show before too much longer here. Speaking of people who are legendary for being sweet and attractive and kind and versatile, Donald Trump refused to answer questions in court this morning in a civil investigation over his business dealings. New York Attorney General Letitia James was seeking a deposition, coming just shortly after the FBI executed a search warrant in Mar-a-Lago. Trump put a post on his teeny tiny social media account that says, "Under the advice of my counsel, I declined to answer the questions under the rights and privileges afforded to every citizen under the United States Constitution." What would his reaction have been if, say, Hillary Clinton had put out those exact same words? It should be a rhetorical question, but, you know, I'll put it to you anyway, Kristen. How do you think he would have sounded off about that?
He is there's one thing that he is brilliant at, actually two. One is working the legal system and finding all of those little cracks that he can seep into to exploit them and exploit common sense. And then the second thing is marketing. He can sell anybody nothing. He is just brilliant at that, but that does not serve us. So like, his great skills are things that are terrible for humanity and obviously for democracy.
Well, it's been the delaying in legal proceedings he's a master of. Yesterday, my poor wife watched me, you know, just react in disgust when I saw an update, a headline somewhere on a court case ruling against Donald Trump, as happens all the time, but ruling against Donald Trump yesterday in a court case revolving around Congress demanding to see his tax returns, which, you know, he is obligated to do. There is no wiggle room in the law, but because he has made a legal case out of it and is dragging it through the court system, this has taken years and years. And as I said, I think just yesterday, the refusal of him to release his taxes should have been disqualifying. There shouldn't have been a single Republican voter who looked at that and said, well, we don't know. We don't know the whole story of his finances. But like you said, he can drag this out. He's now dragging out this thing here. He posted as well, you know, when your family, your company, and all the people in your orbit have become the targets of an unfounded, politically motivated witch hunt, you have no choice. Banana Republic. He's got Twitter Tourette's, basically. He'll just blurt things out. Witch hunt. Banana Republic.
Oh, the last time I heard Banana Republic, it was Mike Gallagher on January 6th.
Right.
If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
There it is.
Oh!
There it is.
Enough. When you have your staff taking the Fifth Amendment, taking the Fifth, so they're not prosecuted, I think it's disgraceful.
You see, the mob takes the Fifth.
Thank you, Donald. We appreciate that. I guess thank you, Luke, too, for having that at your fingertips. But you know, thank you, Donald, for making that clear to us. What our expectations should
only,
be.
Like, I just don't understand how somebody like Howard Dean can be brought down by a squawk at a campaign rally, but Donald Trump can do this over and over and over and over again. Like, what is it going to take for people to just disattach from him and actually start recognizing the damage that is personally being done, not just to this country, not just to our government, but like to us personally?
Look, there are many things that mystify us. I'm thinking, as you bring that up, I thought I would turn to you again as a healthcare provider and ask about voting against a cap on insulin prices. As I've said, Ron Johnson and other Republicans could have voted for that amendment and still voted against the final bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, which we will ask Congressman Mark Pocan about tomorrow morning. But I mean, have you heard any good answers to the question of why politicians wouldn't support a price cap on insulin, something that some of your patients need to live?
It just defies understanding. It's all politics, but people aren't paying attention. And I think that is on us to hold our representatives accountable. And we don't do that because we get sucked into those sweet little messages or sucked into I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. And that's, we get lazy. So it's our obligation within this democracy to hold our leaders accountable for the decisions that they make. And you know, somebody who did that beautifully and recently was Jon Stewart. When he was advocating for this group of vets and these burn pits, I don't know if you guys talked about this legislation a couple weeks ago, but there was legislation to provide relief for veterans from some of the effects and to stop these burn pits that were happening off-site, where they would take all their garbage and burn everything. And then people were dying of these weird cancers and having all these chronic lung diseases. And they had this great legislation that everybody pretty much agreed on, which never happens these days. And it got through the Senate and it ended up going back to committee for like some sort of a little tweak, nothing major, and came back to the Senate after some other political loss had occurred for the Republicans. And a bunch of Republicans turned their votes around and then voted against this legislation that was against veterans. And Jon Stewart was so artful at recognizing that this was entirely political, that their messaging couldn't begin to explain what they had done or why they had done it. And they ended up having to turn their vote back around. And this has since passed the Senate. So I think there is a way to do this, but a lot of it is on us as citizens.
Well, I think as well, and like you said, to explain the way that you did just now, it's the kind of thing that takes a while to explain in a newscast, and you know, newscasts are you know, not really good at breaking down complex issues. So I'm glad we have an opportunity like this. Kristen Lierley is here with us for the next hour as well. We'll take a break and be back. You're up north.